No, men and women, there is no greater theme and there is no greater message than that to preach than Christ and Him crucified. We looked this morning in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, and how unto Him who have loved us and have washed us from our sins in His own blood. And when we come to the book, we saw the song of the book, and there is the title of the book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And Peter again backs that home, that our preaching, the gospel, is of Christ. And I'm glad tonight that you're here, and you're here to hear that message once again, to hear of a Savior who left the realms of glory, who came to this sin-cursed earth, to go to the cross of Calvary, to redeem your soul, and to redeem my soul. There is that little lovely phrase there within verse 18. For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things. And thank God tonight we're not redeemed with silver or gold. But we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. That as it goes on to say in verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Tonight I just want, for the time I have, just to turn in Scripture and to show you, if I can and as I humbly can, four things about the Lamb. Because whenever you come to the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you will see the mention of the Lamb right through Scripture. The Lamb is a picture and typify of Christ. How that in Genesis 3, as we were there this morning, turned you to that little verse, whenever Adam and Eve, they sinned in the Garden of Eden. And how at the very end of that, that little lamb, it had to be killed. The blood had to be shed to cover the sin and the nakedness of Adam and of Eve. And so you can see right from the very beginning, the blood had to be shed. The lamb had to be killed to make a covering, an atonement for the soul. Whenever you come to the very last chapter of the book, right to the very end of Revelation chapter 22, again, time after time, in that chapter, the Lamb is mentioned. It says at the very end of verse 1, and out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In verse 3 it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And if you take your time to go through Scripture, time after time, the Lamb is mentioned. But tonight, my first point I want to make about the Lamb is this. He was the Lamb that was looked for. The Lamb that was looked for. If you'll turn with me quickly in your Bible to Genesis chapter 22. And what a wonderful picture we have of the cross. You know, if you take your time just to study this wonderful chapter of Genesis chapter 22, it points to Calvary. And our dear brother in our prayer meeting prayed it this evening, Lord, that you would bring us afresh again to Calvary. And men and women, here we are. We're coming afresh again to see the cross of Calvary. How Abraham, it says in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And God said to Abraham to take thine only son Isaac and to offer him up upon the altar. And what a picture you have. And how Isaac was Abraham's only son. And Abraham, he loved him. He loved him with that everlasting love. There was a great union and a great bond between the father and the son. It's a picture of God the Father and God the Son. And the Lord said to take Isaac, thine only son, and he says to take him and to offer him there. And whenever the Bible tells us in verse 5 or verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his two young men with him. And then we see in verse 4, and on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. You see Calvary? Can you see it? Oh, as Abraham takes his only son, being obedient to what the Lord has asked him to do. And as Abram comes, he lifts up his eyes and he can see the place afar off. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in the New Testament, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. how Abraham, way back in the Old Testament, looking into the future, he could see Calvary. He could see it afresh. But then you see how Abraham says to his young men in verse 5, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder." Oh, what a beautiful picture. You can see the father as he takes his little son's hand. And in the heart of the father of Abraham, he knows what he's got to do. He knows what's in his mind and in his heart as he's taking his only son, as the Lord have asked him to do. And Abram can see the place afar off. And as the father and the son, as they go together. And Abraham puts in verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering." And it says there, "and laid it upon Isaac his son." Men and women, they took the wood of the cross. Oh, you can go to the New Testament. Oh, whenever they took Christ out of Pilate's hall, and they put him in the hands of soldiers, and they spat upon him, and they whipped him. And then whenever they came, they took the cross, and they put it on him. And he says unto him there, and he took his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and the knife. And they went both of them together. But I want you to look at the end of verse 7. "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb? Where is the lamb?" You see, little Isaac, he's looking for the lamb. And I wonder today, if you're in this house of God this evening, is that your desire in your heart? You're looking for the lamb. And men and women, listen, I don't know what age Isaac was, but I believe he was just a little scrap of a little lad. But what I do know and what I do understand is this, that Isaac was old enough to know that he needed the lamb. And you know, men and women tonight, listen, you've sat under the gospel. From knee height, you've been taught the gospel. You've been taught it in Sunday school. You've been taught it in the youth meetings. Aye, even in your old age tonight, you know the gospel in and out. And you're old enough tonight to know that you need the lamb. That you need the lamb. And little Isaac, he looked for the lamb. Are you looking for the lamb tonight? Don't say you don't know, because you do know. Just like Isaac, you're old enough to know that you need the Savior. You need the Lord. You see, there are many in this land tonight, and they are without excuse. You see, this wee land, it's blessed with the gospel. Right across this land, over the generations, God has raised up men to preach the gospel. As we saw this morning, how John was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Aye, the wood was there. The fire was there. The knife was there. But Isaac said, "Father, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb?" And you know what's sad tonight? That there are many fancy churches and great buildings. Aye, there's central heating there. There's comfort there. There's good singing there. But sadly, there's no lamb. The lamb's never preached. And that's sad. But thank God tonight, men and women, in this house, the lamb is being preached. And little Isaac, he turns to his father, old enough to know, "Father, there's something missing. There's something missing. Where's the lamb?" But what a wonderful answer his father gave him. As Isaac looked for the lamb, his father Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And that's what God did. Oh, how Abraham went in obedience to what the Father, what the Lord was saying to him. And when Isaac asked him, where is the lamb? His father said, seeing the place afar off, he says, my son, God will provide himself as a lamb. And you know, not as you see that wonderful end of that chapter, it says there in verse 13 at the very end of it, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram caught in the horns with a thickle in the thickle. And Abraham went and took the ram. And what a wonderful statement at the end of it. It says, and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of a son. Instead of a son. And you know, men and women, that's what God has done for you and me. He has provided himself as a lamb. And he offered him up on Calvary's cross to die on that old rugged cross in your place and in mine. So you can see, first of all, as we look at one part of the lamb, he was the lamb that was looked for. But I want you to turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we see the lamb that was revealed. The Lamb revealed in John chapter 1. And what a wonderful preacher John the Baptist was. And yet here we find in verse 29, John reveals the Lamb. You see, throughout the Old Testament teaching, they were all looking forward to the Lamb. They were all teaching once a year. The high priest would go into the holiest of holiest, and there he would offer up the blood for the sins of the people of Israel. Yes, Israel was taught the importance of the sacrifice of the Lamb, and Israel's looking forward to that day when the Lord will send the Messiah, when the Lamb of God will come. And John says in verse 29, the next day John seeing Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, behold, the Lamb of God. John revealed him. John was sent forth by God to preach the word of the Lord, as it says in verse 6 of John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God, and it says whose name was John. And the Lord Jesus Christ said there was never a greater preacher than that of John. John was that little voice that was crying out in the wilderness. It says there the same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. Can you see this wee preacher? Can you see this wee man as he's going before the Lord and he's preaching the gospel? He's telling men and women to repent and to believe the gospel, to look for the Lamb, to look unto the Lamb. For he is the light of the world. It says there, he was not that light, but and then it goes on verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then we see the two classes of the people. John here, he gives the distinction of the two classes of the people in the world. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. See that? Don't miss that. You see, men and women, as the Lamb is presented to you, as the Lamb is revealed to you, as the Lamb has come unto you, listen, there are those in this church and I outside it tonight. He came unto his own and you receive him not. You're still rejecting the gospel. You're still rejecting God's way of salvation. He came unto his own and they received him not. But can you see, men and women, in verse 12, but it says, to the other section of the class, but as many as receive him, to as many as receive the Lamb, to as many who believed in Christ, it says, unto them give he the power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name. And as we sit in this meeting tonight, there are those who are saved and are washed in the blood of the Lamb, but there are those and you're not saved. You see, you're either saved and on your way to glory, or you're lost and you're still in your sin and on your way to hell. The old Puritan said, you're either saved or lost, turn or burn. Which is it, man? Which is it, woman? Are you still on the broad road that's leading to hell and destruction? Sunday after Sunday, week after week, day after day, God's being good to you. God is revealing the Lamb to you through the Scriptures, just as John preached the Word of God. Men and women, as we saw this morning, you and I have a revelation of Jesus Christ throughout the Bible and throughout the Word of God. The Lord is revealing the Lamb to you. And still you reject them. Still you refuse to come to Christ. And John said in verse 14, "And the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He said in verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Listen, men and women, tonight, I'm telling you the truth tonight. I'm speaking the truth. It's the Word of God, and you need to receive the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, into your own heart. Because John said, as he revealed him, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You see what it says there? Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away. There's no one can take away sin but Jesus. You think of the sin you have committed today. You think of the sin that you have committed in a week. You think of the sin you have committed in a month. Think of all your sins from the day you were born right up until now. Men and women, God promises that this Lamb, if you behold the Lamb of God, He will take away every sin. Every sin. It's not a beautiful thought. He came to take away the sin of this world. What a world, men and women. What a sinful world we live in. A world that has no time for God. A world that is violent and wicked. A world that has no thought for human being or even for the very creation of earth. And yet God, in His love and His mercy, He sent forth His only begotten Son, who became the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of this wicked and vile and evil world. He came to take away your sin and my sin. Oh, as little Isaac, he looked for the Lamb. As John the Baptist preached that day, John revealed the Lamb. But I want you to see, and thirdly, the Lamb that was crucified. Turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And what a wonderful picture we have of the Lamb crucified. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him." Do you see it in Genesis 22? The Lamb that Isaac looked for. In John 1, the Lamb that John revealed. But now in Luke's Gospel, we see the Lamb crucified. "When they were come to the place which is called Calvary." That place which Abraham saw afar off as he headed up that hill with his little son Isaac. Abraham could see the Lord's day, the day when the Lord would go to the cross of Calvary, and there He would offer up an atonement for the sins of the people, that He would provide Himself a lamb to take away the sin of the world. And my friend, here we have it. They brought Him to Golgotha's hill, to the place called Calvary, and there they crucified Him there. Crucified the Lamb. It says there were two male factors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Oh, do you see how they took the Lamb? They took Him into Pilate's hall. Pilate examined Him. Pilate questioned Him. Pilate's conscience was deeply troubled. His wife sent the message to Pilate, have nothing to do with that just man. Pilate did not know what to do. He said, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Men and women, is that your conscience tonight? Are you in this meeting tonight and your conscience is ringing? What will I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will I do with the Lamb that was crucified for me? And because of peer pressure, because of popularity, because of fame, Pilate said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Men and women, there's not one of us who are innocent of the blood of Jesus Christ. Every one of us are guilty. And we're guilty before God. They took him there and they crucified him. How Pilate handed him over into the hands of those Roman soldiers. They stripped him. They put that purple robe upon him. They placed the crown of thorns upon his brow. Let me say, they didn't just set it gently on his head. They thumped it on his head. And the thorns is a picture of the curse. And Christ bore the curse. My friend, they whipped his back as if it was like a ploughed field. They spat upon him. They slapped his face until his face was unrecognizable. They brought him out in the heat of that day. And they set the cross upon him. And as he went out through the sheep gate, as you find in Nehemiah, that when he prepared those great walls, he prepared the sheep gate. Where the lambs would come in and be sold and go out to be slaughtered. The Lord went out through that gate, down that little path to the place called Golgotha. And it was there they crucified the Lamb of God. Isaiah 53 has that wonderful picture of the cross. And Isaiah said these wonderful words. He said he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. But there's a little verse, a little word in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord. When man had done his worst, there was still a greater punishment to come upon the Lamb of God. And the Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Men and women, can you see the Lamb of God tonight? Can you see him as he's lifted up on that center cross? As he hangs between heaven and earth? As the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all? And I tell you, we will never understand or fully grasp how dark and how deep that night the Lord Jesus Christ went through for the soul that was lost. We will never fully understand the meaning of that great cry when the Savior cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Right up until that very point, he was always in communion with the Father. He was always in communion with his Father. But when the sins of this world and your iniquity and my sin and the judgment and the wrath of God was poured out on the Savior, the Father turned his back. And to that mighty cry, it is finished. It is finished. You see, men and women, tonight, thank God tonight for the Lamb. The Lamb that Isaac looked for. The Lamb that John revealed. The Lamb that was crucified. But men and women, there's one final part of the Lamb, and it's the victory. It's the Lamb that was risen. I want you to turn in Revelation chapter 5. And what a wonderful, you know, our Savior's not dead tonight. This Lamb who came into the world to be the Savior of the world. This Lamb who went all the way to the cross of Calvary. When we come to the book of Revelation chapter 5, and again throughout the book, you don't see a dead Lamb. No, you see a risen Lamb. And you see one that is alive and alive forevermore. Look what it says in Revelation 5 and verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion and the tribe of Judah, the root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb. You see it? He's risen. In the midst of heaven, there stood a Lamb. And that Lamb is Christ. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits, and God sent forth into the earth. Is it any wonder this morning we sung that hymn, unto him who have loved us, and have washed us from our sins in his own blood? You see, men and women, tonight, there's an empty tomb in Israel to prove it. The Word of God proves it. And the Word of God says, come see the place where he lay, for he is not here. He is risen. And my dear friend, tonight, where is Christ? He has ascended into heaven. And tonight he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding in your behalf. And when you and I get home to glory, my friend, the first thing, the first person we will see the Lamb that was slain for us on Calvary's cross. And as the Bible says, they will all bow down towards the Lamb. To the Lamb. All men and women, do you see why little Isaac looked for the Lamb? Do you see how John revealed him? Do you see how they took that little Lamb and they crucified him on Calvary's cross? But all men and women tonight, can you see him? Can you see him glorified? The Lamb risen and the Lamb glorified. Because it says in verse 12 of Revelation 5, as they bow down before the Lamb, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing. I'm doing this wee study with our young people in the Youth Fellowship on a Friday night, going through Revelation chapter 1 with them. And I had to, the Lord led me to this passage, and I had to quote it, I had to go there. You know, men and women, there's coming a day in Revelation chapter 20, and there's coming a day when all men will stand before the Lamb. There is the judgment seat of Christ, which the saints of God will go to. You and I who are saved will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But sir, Adam, if you're in the meeting, you're not saved. The Bible teaches of the great white throne. And that's where the unsaved will gather, at the great white throne of the Lamb. And he will open the book. He will open the book of your life. And everything that's recorded and written in that book will be read out. Every secret sin, every hidden sin, every vile word, lie word, everything under the sun, everything, men and women, that you and I have done in our life, if we're not saved and we come before the great white throne of the Lamb, when that book is opened, everything will be revealed. And you know something, men and women, as I told our young people this on Friday night, listen, whenever you come to that point, you'll not be standing behind the minister. You'll not be standing behind the denomination of a church. You'll not be standing behind your organizations or whatever religious thing or whatever you're depending on getting to heaven. Men and women, listen and listen clearly. When you stand before the throne of the Lamb, you will stand there on your own. And you will give account of your own life and for your own life. And then the Lord opens another book. And he says, whosoever is not written in the Lamb's book of life is cast into the lake of fire. This being the second death. Do you see the Lamb tonight? Do you see your need of the Lamb? Can you see the Lamb that was crucified for you? Can you see one day, sir, madam, you're going to stand before that Lamb? As the Bible says, the small and the great and the dead will stand before him. And the books will be opened and they'll be judged according to the things that are written therein. And if your name... if your name is not found there, written in the Lamb's book of life, my friend, the word of God that you have sat under, the word of God that has been revealed to you, it will damn your soul to hell. You're without excuse. You see, Isaac, he looked for the Lamb. He was old enough to know it was missing in his life. John, when he preached the gospel, he revealed the Lamb. How they took him to the place called Golgotha, and there they crucified the Lamb. But when the saints of God get home to heaven, we'll stand before the throne and we'll behold the Lamb, the risen Lamb. And we'll see him in all his glory, in all his beauty. And we'll sing as we sung this morning, unto him who have loved us and have washed us from our sins in his own blood. For thou art worthy. He is the Lamb that was slain, and he shed his precious blood for you and for me. There's one question as I close. What are you going to do with the Lamb? What are you going to do with the Lamb? He's been revealed to you again. You know you need the Lamb. Are you going to go again as the Lord have come unto you? Are you going to reject him again? Or are you going to come, as it says, and receive him? And to as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Is this the night you're going to come to the Saviour and put your faith and trust in him? If you reject the Lamb and God calls you home tonight, my dear sinner friend, you will be lost and be lost for all eternity. I urge you one more time, come to the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We're going to stand in closing this wonderful hymn from number 58, Jesus, the name.